We're talking today about the fullness and completeness. That's the way I titled this, fullness and completeness. Just want to encourage you what God does for us. We've been hitting a lot of things, and some of the messages have been, you know, pretty directed as far as what we have to do. But we need to know, when God asks things of us and our commitment, God's way ahead of us in what He's committed to doing. And we need to remember it. And don't forget during these times, and I want to share with you, I feel this. I read things and all, but I just feel it. I feel that we may see some really not pleasant things in the next couple of months. And I don't think we'll be very impressed with what we're seeing. If it's not true, I'm not a prophet. I'm not up here prophesying. This is my personal feelings that we might not like, as if we've liked everything so far, but we might not like some of the things that we're going to see and hear. And so keep your eyes focused on Christ. Keep your heart in Him. Don't be distracted with what you're going to hear. It's getting quite brutal, and people are being hit hard, and there's more directed attacks towards Christianity, and we should have expected it. It's there. What can we say? But we don't have to like it. And I want you to know, I'm seeing some. Hang on a second. I've got to sneeze. I've never done this in 40 years of ministry, and suddenly I thought I'm having an allergy problem. I think I'm okay. I suppressed it, but I thought, I'm about to sneeze in public, and you don't do that. And I've never worked out a plan. Well, what happens if I do? I don't know. I'll just turn around and pray to God it's not real messy. That's all I know. I mean, if I ever do that and my back stays turned, somebody please charge up here with some help. And said, help the man. It passed. I think I'm okay. My daughter came, as you know, and she had her. She'll listen to this message, so it's okay. But I have a little problem sometimes with an animal in the house because of the dander, and I have to take allergy pills. And I told her, I said, I like your little dog. It's not your dog; it's the dander, and I just have a problem with it. And sure enough, I'm still having a problem with it. And I thought, oh, of all things, don't sneeze in front of people, and that really, there's things you never think about. There's things you never think about, and that could happen up here. And I wear jeans that are a little bit more loose than they need to be because I've ripped jeans and I've torn stuff. And it's like, so I always trying to think of every angle. But I sure thought that one was coming on real strong. So back to our subject. There's been some real brutal things being said and attacks made against people because of their beliefs and their political beliefs and so forth. And so just know I think it will heat up, and I'm looking at signs, indications that the meanness and the ugly things being said and done will heat up. Don't let it keep you from being who you're supposed to be. Don't get angry. Anger doesn't serve the righteousness of God. And so don't let yourself get angry. We're just in a rough time out here, and we're just going to have to see it through. But we have God, and we have His power, and we have prayer, so get on it. When you get upset about something, start praying. Don't stay upset. Pray it. Pray. Turn to the Lord and ask God to take them out. I do. I'm praying God to take them out. I don't mean kill them. Take them out of office. Tired of it. If you can't act professional, if you can't be a person of integrity, I don't want you. I don't care what party you're in. Get out of here. And I'm praying God get them out. And I'll say the same thing for anybody, any of these guys that are pastoring these churches that are up there big show-offs and in it for the money. If you can't preach the Word of God, I'm praying God will get you out. Take you down and put somebody in there that will honor God. Man, that's the way I feel about it. I really do. Don't put up with that garbage. God knows how to take care of false prophets too. So, I say that, and I want you today to hear what God says that He offers you. He gives this to you, and so let's get into it, the fullness and completeness. And in 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, this is an international version we're coming from today. He says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. So hear that. Grace and peace be yours, how? In abundance, through the knowledge of God and of our Jesus our Lord. And we read that, do you catch what he's saying? He's saying, grace and peace be yours in abundance, how? Through knowing God. If you don't know God, you're not trying to know God, you're not reading your scripture and praying to the Lord and not listening to the Lord as he moves in your life and speaks to you through scripture, then you're not going to have the grace and peace, because he's saying grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God. And as you gain the knowledge of God, he said that you'll get the peace and the grace and peace of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need. Hear that. His divine power has given us everything we need for what? A godly life. Through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. So what is he saying? Grace and peace and God's divine power gives you everything you need for a godly life. Everything. I mean fullness and completeness. So we're going to talk about that. So grab that verse and hang on to it and say, wow, God, you know that. Thank you. Because it's saying that as I get to know you more and spend some time with you, I have more grace and peace in my life, and your divine power gives me everything I need to live this life and live it godly through what? Once again, the knowledge of him, Jesus, who called us by his own glory and goodness. So there it is. You get to know God, you get the benefits. You don't take the time to know God, you don't get all the benefits. And it's like, wow, it's that simple. God says, you take spend some time with me, get to know me. Look at the benefits that flow from doing that. It's the same thing. Don't you see? Scripture tells us that the marriage relationship between a man and a woman is to personify or be an example of the marriage between the Christian and God through Jesus Christ. And he said, that's what the marriage is about. And so the more we get to know each other and spend time focusing on getting to know the other person and understand their needs and wants and hang-ups and all in between, the more we focus on them and their happiness, their enjoyment, what they're about, then the more fulfillment we find in ourselves, the more we grow in this relationship. And the problem that happens in so many marriages is, and we have to be so careful, this is not a marriage message, okay, but just to show, we get so focused into my needs, I won't, don't talk to me that way, don't hurt my feelings, me, my. And before we know it, there's no communication going on. We're leaving each other out, and the other person doesn't feel loved. They don't feel appreciated. They feel abused. Is everybody with me? Well, you take this on the higher plane, and that's what we do to God without realizing it. When we focus on ourselves and me, and why'd you let this happen, and you're not doing what you said you'd do, and all this stuff, and we get really cranky and grippy and demanding of God, really critical, and we're not focusing on knowing God, our marriage partner, our Savior, our God. And if we don't focus on him, and rather we're focused on ourselves, the same thing happens. There are a lot of self-centered Christians running around out there, and I know everybody in this room's run into them, haven't you? Life's all about them. You get around them and you're thinking, why don't we even hang out with these people? That was a wasted 2 hours. Because everything was about them. Don't you just love it when you sit down with someone and, hi, how are you doing? And you're thinking you might talk about the Lord a little bit because they're Christian people. And for 2 hours or whatever it is, you sit there and they talk about nothing but themselves. And you just get up from that, and I have, and I've walked away, and I've muttered to myself, nice conversation. I really enjoyed that one. Yeah, I heard about everything that's wrong in your poor life, and everything that's wrong in the world, and half of what's wrong with me. Friends, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Don't you like it when you sit down with someone and all of a sudden you realize that their focus is on you and they really care and they want to know how you're doing? How often does that happen for any of us? How are you today? What do you need? What are you thinking? Are you worried? Are you depressed? Are you frustrated? What can I do for you? You realize that's what God through His Holy Spirit is doing with us all the time? And that's why I'm emphasizing, pay Him attention. Give Him glory. Talk to God. Thank Him for things. Quit taking so much for granted. And become a grateful Christian and develop a real relationship with Him. Because God, look at how God's doing. He's always looking into our lives. And He's always probing and asking through His Spirit, how are you today? How do you feel? Are you worried? You're depressed? You're angry? What are your needs? And that's our next point here is God gives us, He empowers us to live this full, abundant life. It's all ours. If we just focus on Him and quit worrying about what's in it for me. And maybe I've been, most of my ministry career has been, a good part of it outside of this, has been listening to people and trying to help put their relationships back together. And I've had to listen to so many marriage problems. And one of the real prime source of trouble in marriages is self-centeredness. I don't like the way you talk to me. You have an abusive tone of voice. You're accusing me. Me, 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 me. It's all about me. And it's like, finally there comes a point to where, you really haven't died to yourself at all, have you? You haven't become a living sacrifice, as God says. You haven't let it go and really begun. You can tell if a Christian is self-centered in a personal relationship that they're being self-centered with God, because when you've let it go with God and you're really focused on God, He teaches you through His Spirit to focus on other people. Well, enough on that. That counseling today is free. You can take it and, think about it. Think about it. It's true. And the way that I can usually tell how somebody is in a relationship with God, I look and see how they are in their relationship with other people. You're going to treat other people about the same way you treat God. So you look at abusive people and people are cussing all the time, mad and upset and in a relationship. It's like, that's how you're treating the Lord, isn't it? You're not really grateful for anything He does for you. Okay, enough. Maybe I'm just cranky this morning. I'm not sure. But that's what the Lord's put on my heart. And it's like, man, be grateful. Just be glad that He keeps you here and that He's taking care of us. So let's look at this first point. That was just an intro. You say, oh God, that was an intro? Yeah, we still have all the points to do. Hang on. So the first point here is that Jesus, listen to this, Jesus fully empowers and fully supplies our needs. We know that, right? Philippians 4:19. If you don't know it, mark it down today. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And then it says, continues and says, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. So there it is. Now listen, all your needs. Now, it didn't say all your wants, but it did say all your needs, whatever it is. God will take care of them. You say, okay, I know that verse, but are you trusting Him to do it? Are you really letting Him do it? And let's talk about these needs. We here's the needs we usually think of. Okay, God, yes, God, that means food, clothing, shelter, place to live. Okay. Well, some of you are in need of a healed heart. You got a broken heart. That covers that too. And some of you are in need of a good relationship, and it covers that too. Some of you are in need of physical healing, and it covers that too. It says all your needs, but we tend to focus on the basic things, and okay, food, shelter, clothing, okay, because that's over in Matthew 7, don't worry about what to eat and where to drink and all that. But this in Philippians over here says all your needs. What about your loneliness? What about your depression? What about your addictions? Your need to be delivered from that. Your need to be healed. What about just that constant nagging guilt that never seems to go away? You have a need there. And God says, I'll meet your needs. I'll take care of that. The problem is that so many times with our needs, we're thinking of those basic rudimentary things, and we're not thinking about the things that make or break us. A person with a lonely heart can start compromising if they stay lonely long enough, and they can start drinking, they can start doing some drugs, or they start getting involved with the wrong people. And I've had many women tell me, "Tony, I'm just so lonely, I'm just willing to put up with anything just to have somebody around." And it's like, that's sad, but it's real. Guys, they're not quite that way. They just start going and bar hopping or doing things and find whoever. Let's face it, after 5 or 6 drinks, everybody in there is beautiful. And the more, and you learned it in the military, and they used to warn, you know, they'd show the films and all the bad stuff that can happen to guys. And then you'd say to them, "You know, you're going to go out here, and after about a half a dozen, everybody in there are beauty queens. You know, and that's where you're going to get in trouble." And we know that, you know, and ladies, the same thing can happen. And every guy in the world is, you know, and it just, you know, they're just greatest in the world. The point is, when you hurt long enough, you begin to reach out and grab the wrong things to stop the pain. And God is saying, "Reach for me. I'm the best painkiller there ever was. And I can take your pain away from you." Whatever it is, you got hurt in a relationship. I hear this stuff all the time. I got hurt, or maybe in a couple of relationships, or 2 or 3, whatever it is. And I just can't trust. I'll just never go there again. And yet you see the person saying that constantly looking for another relationship, and they never work out. You know why? Because they haven't been healed from the previous one, and they carry it right into the next one. And you push them away. God says He can meet the need and He can give you satisfaction, and you won't be so lonely if you'll let Him be your friend, your companion. Everybody hearing me? Let Him in your life. Start looking to Him. The problem is, I know, and I've had people say this, and we acknowledge it right here. He's not physically there, and I just want somebody physically there, but you know He can be really there if you'll let Him. And I found that, and this is true, and if you'll really let Him be your companion, I've seen God over and over and over provide somebody, a physical person, that is a godly person that He ministers through to be your companion. Now, I don't know, maybe I'm just, nobody needs that part of it, but some of you need healing, and some of you need deliverance from depression, and you need to let go of some self-centeredness. And you need some things, and God says, what? I'll meet all your needs. Quit looking at just the basic stuff and look at the real stuff. Some of you need to come out of prison. You've been in an emotional prison all your life. You got hurt. Something's happened. Where'd you get hung up? And you've just been locked up in there. There's people that 40, 50, 60 years old that got hung up when they were 15. And you revert to that, still act like a 15-year-old sometimes. And you know people like that. And you say, what's wrong with them? They're stuck. And God says, I can meet that need. I can bring you forward. I can make you into a mature, spirit-filled Christian person, if you'll just let me. So let me move on to the next one. You know, our second point here. Jesus gives full completeness, not partial, full completeness. He goes beyond our basic needs, and then He starts working in the areas that He knows that we crave. And let me hit some of these. I mentioned it, one of them just a while ago. Friendship. You know what He said in John 15:15? You can write this down. I didn't have time to print for us to go through all these. But in John 15, He says, I no longer call you servants, because the servant doesn't know what the master is doing. He said, I've called you friends. Everything I learned from my Father I've made known to you. Listen to me. What did He say? I call you friends. Now, Jesus is your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your God. But then He takes it and brings it on a fully personal level, and He says, do you realize I'm your friend? Do you realize I'm here to be your companion? I am right here to be your friend. I'll never tell a lie on you. I'll never betray a secret. I'll never spread any gossip about you. You can trust me for all eternity. Everything, that's what, see, how many people, really, right now, ask yourself, how many people would you trust to share your deepest secrets with? Some people don't even trust who they're married to do that. I've had them to tell me that. I say, have you shared this with your partner? No. Why not? Because they'll tell somebody. And it's like, well, if that's true, that's bad. You know, and you're married to a person you can't even confide in. Well, I want to tell you something, friends. We're all married to one that we can confide in, because when you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, you're married to him. And he says, I'm your friend, and I'm right here, and you can trust me with every secret in your life. Tell me about it. Tell me. Tell me whether it's good or bad. Tell me about it. Some of you need to tell him some of the bad things right now and quit. You're not going to offend him. He knows it's there already. So just tell him. Why don't you just say, God, I want to overeat today. God, I just really like to go commit some kind of lustful thing today. You know, there's a lot of churches I could never say that in. They'd throw me out. But it's the truth. It's the truth, you know. We get those thoughts, and people, and they say, well, you ever have those days you're just going along and suddenly there's just these lustful thoughts going through your head and you're going, what the heck is going on? I said that and every face in here went blank. Who, me? It happens to us all. Or you're going along and suddenly you have those days when it's like you just want to hit somebody. You ever have, really? Or you just want to get so, I just wish I could just cuss somebody out today. I mean, why do we do that? But we do. But before you go do those things or have some lustful thing happen or go cuss somebody out or go tell somebody out, why don't you just say it verbally to God, I want to go cuss somebody out today. Let me ask you, have you ever wanted to hit someone? I mean, you just feel like, I hope somebody does something today so I can hit them. That's part of our old fleshly nature. Well, why don't you tell God that? God, I'm just so wound up. I'm so cranked or whatever it is. I just want to be physically abusive today. He's your friend. You can tell him anything. So remember, but he's your friend that can meet your needs. So he can meet the need and he can fix the problem, that's whatever it is that's causing you to feel that way. Think about it. You ever wake up and you think, today's the day I'm going to tell my partner just exactly what I think of their cooking? I'm going to tell them just exactly what I think about them dropping clothes all over the floor instead of putting them in the laundry basket? Today's the day. And you know if you do that, it's not going to be pretty. But you can tell God about it. And I've told many a person, why don't you appeal to the Lord and ask him to start changing that person? Quit fighting each other over it and go to God. Why don't you tell God on them? And I had a lady once that she told me, I said, your husband's really changed. And she said, you know what I started doing? Every time he started mouthing off to me or being abusive to me, she said, I'd put my finger up there and said, I'm going to go tell God on you right now. And it got to bothering him a lot. And he got worried about it, and she kept doing it. I'm going to go tell God on you. I'm going to tell God on you. Well, of course, God was already listening, but it brought that conscience in there, you know. And he started changing. See, God can do that. So you have a friend, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's willing, and he has already, he's given his life for you. And that leads us to the second thing. He's your eternal companion. You have friendship. You have a need for friendship. God created every one of us to have friends. You also have a need for companionship. And you know what Jesus said in this companionship thing? You ready for this? I will never leave you or forsake you. I know my people. They know me. I call them by name. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and no one can take them out of my hand. He said, that's the kind of companion I am. Nobody can take you away from me, is what he's saying. And get this, this is so critical to grasp. Even when you sin, even when you think lustful things, even when you lose your temper, even when you say all those ugly words, I will not leave you, forsake you. You can't make me leave you. I will not walk out of this marriage relationship, no matter how abusive you ever become. I am here for you. I died for you. I rose again for you. I intercede for you. I live in you through my Holy Spirit. Your body is my temple. And if you try to mess it up, which many people do, I'm going to convict you of it, and I'm going to do everything I can to get you right, but I'm not going to leave you. So you need to just go ahead and accept the fact that once you ask Jesus in your heart, you're stuck with him. Who'd want to leave him anyway? But I've known many a person that has, haven't you? Just turn around and go the other way. They don't realize why their life's so miserable afterward. They think they're happy and they're not. Why? Because he won't go away. I'll never leave you. Nobody can take you out of your hand, out of his hand. Listen, and you can't take yourself out of his hand either. Jesus isn't going to go away. You've got to remember old Jonah, right? He took off running. He thought he could get away from God. He got on board a ship. Next thing you know, he's pitched overboard and fish swallowed him up. And there's been many a Christian who had to be swallowed up by the fish of this world to get their act together. But even then, God did not leave him. And they had a little conversation in that fish and they got it right. No matter where you go. Let me give you some of these other things. I'll move more quickly here on these. Purpose. Jesus promises to give you full completion, meet all your needs, and one of those is to have a purpose. You need to finally discover why in the world have you been put here. What spiritual gifting, what ministry, what calling of the Lord our God do you have in your own personal life that when that's the reason God put you here? Yes, everybody here has a physical talent, ability, something you can do. You're good with numbers, you're good with mechanics, you're good with whatever, you know, running a business, administrating things. That's fantastic. That's part of it. What spiritual gifting do you have? Because every person, when you ask Jesus in your heart and you receive the Holy Spirit, he's given you a spiritual gift. And it's to help the church grow. It's help the church stay in unity. It's to do something to keep God's church together and focused on the Lord. So what is it? Serving? Mercy? Giving? I mean, there's about 18 of them. A known spiritual giftings that God gives people. And what is yours? What is it that God's given you to help the church? It might be that you're just the best server in the world. You just love bringing things and serving and helping people. Maybe you have the gift of encouragement. Don't we need that in churches? As we all, when we come on Sunday, every one of us needs to be encouraged. We do. We pray and hope for encouragement. And that's a spiritual gift, to be an encourager. And then there's pastors and teachers and administrators and all kinds of stuff. But what is it? What is your purpose for? And use it. Do it. What's our absolute purpose of being here? I mean, those are spiritual gifts and all, but what's our true calling? You know what it is? To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And secondly, what? To love our neighbors, ourselves. And we're to live that out. How do we show the world that we are doing that? And belonging. We all want to belong. That's why so many people join organizations. They want to belong. They want to be part of a group. There's security in that. Why do so many people live so clustered up in cities? And I know a lot of you do, but why? There's some security in that, folks. That's our next point anyway. But belonging. When I pastored in San Antonio, I lived on that block, and I've told you about this, I had block parties. It was my thing. Just put the little grill in the back and barbecue a bunch of stuff and bring it out there and tell them all we're going to have a block party. Go up and down the whole thing. And it was amazing how many people come to the block party. I mean, today half of them would come in mask, you know, but that's okay as long as they come. A lot of folks would say, I can't do that, you know, and COVID. We had flu back then. We had everything else too. What's the difference? Listen, since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there's been stuff out there to kill people, so why worry about it? Think about it. Why freak out over one thing when there's been all this other stuff to get you all along and it didn't get you? Trust God, take care of you. I'm not minimizing anything. I'm just saying, where's our faith? But I did that, and that's what I felt led to do. What are you led to do? To give people belonging, to make them feel secure, to help them. Let's talk about security. How many of you are secure today? Is your self-esteem good? Do you feel confident? Or are you kind of low? Do you feel real confident in your relationship with the Lord? You know who you are and what you're about? Or do you have something there that's got some holes in it? I told a person the other day, I said, you know what the problem with that? It was another person they're trying to, you know, they're saying, how can we help them? I said, the problem is with this other person, they have so many holes in the bottom of their emotional bucket that everything you put into it just runs back out. And until they let Jesus Christ heal their little wounded spirit, you're never going to be able to help them. And some of you have worn yourselves out trying to help somebody, but their little bucket has too many holes, and they're going to have to let God give them a new bucket and make them a new creation in Christ. So there's just some things, friends, that we just can't fix, and we just have to recognize it. But we all need belonging. You need to belong to this church. You need to belong. I mean, that's what this is a fellowship. It's necessary. But I want to, let's go beyond it real quick. I'm going to get you out of here. But what is it that we really belong to? We belong to the kingdom of God. And the church is an extension of that. People say, you know, well, I belong to so-and-so church. And it's like, that's great, but do you not go further than that? That church is only a small extension of what you really belong to. You belong to God's kingdom of heaven. You are a citizen of heaven, not the earth. You traded your citizenship here for a citizenship there. And you belong there. And that's where we're headed, there. Okay? And you need to focus on it. That's your kingdom. That's where you belong. And you have a host of witnesses, the scripture says, all around you. You just don't see them. Are there angels here today? Of course there are. Are there angels out there on the highway? Oh, yes, they are. If they're not, I'm not driving anymore. Seriously, everywhere you go, there's a host out there helping you. What are you afraid of? That's another thing, too. Some of you have a need to be delivered from your fear. And from your, some of you, I don't know, and I'm not picking on anybody. Some of them are a little obsessive compulsive. I was watching a movie the other night, and it just brought that to focus. And is it, you know, everybody seen the movie Deepwater Horizon? Oh, well, okay then. Never mind. Well, there's a scene in there, and he's the guy's the chief electrician on an oil rig. The movie Deepwater Horizon is the movie they did about that British Petroleum incident off the Louisiana coast. If you haven't seen it, you'll get really filled in that movie on what happened. Mark Wahlberg is in that. It gets with it and shows you how that incident happened, how it could have been prevented. But the chief electrician is obsessive compulsive, and he's got to have all of his little bottles of wires and stuff, and you know, all the things they use, facing a certain way, all the labels out. Well, the other guy, you know, they work 21 days and then they're off and they come back. The other guy that replaces him that's in there, he takes and turns all of those bottles around so that when Mark, you know, the chief electrician guy comes back in, it drives him crazy. Because everything in there is turned around. And it's like, are some of you, any of you a little bit obsessive compulsive with this kind of stuff? Okay. And it just makes you crazy if it's not just set just right. And And anyway, and God knows that. And what happens with that sometimes, though, is it's okay in your cabinet and everything, but out in life, boy, people just will mess you up, won't they? They won't do anything we want them to do. God knows that. But I want you to know something. For all you OCD people in there, obsessive compulsive people, disorder, whatever, God will never go turn your labels around. He'll never mess with you. And that fits for all of us. God does not play jokes on people. But I tell you what he will do. He won't turn your labels around, but if you'll let him, he'll turn you around. He'll turn me around. And he'll fix what's broken. And he'll help me relax a little more. And help you relax a little more. And he gives you security. And I want you to read this. This security that we have in him. We've got this belonging. We belong to his kingdom. And by the way, in Romans 8, if you'll read this part, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You need to hear that. And it says we are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, and we're going to inherit everything Jesus inherits. And here's your security. It's in Ephesians 1. I didn't put it in here. I didn't know if I was going to be able to get to this or not, but I want to read this to you. It says, you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Listen to this. When you believed, you were marked in Christ with a seal. You need to read this for yourself. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, the praise of his glory. You know what it's saying? Some of you sometimes, because of what you do, what you think and all that, you're thinking, am I still saved? Does God still love me? Am I still going to heaven? And God says, I sealed you in the Holy Spirit, put my mark on you. You're on your way. You may act like you're not, but you are. You're not losing this salvation. I sealed you in the Holy Spirit. So friend, it's permanent. You have it. Even with all of our hang-ups and all of our junk and all the stuff we go through, God, if you just open your heart to him and pour out your needs and tell him what you're thinking and lay your life out there, you have all these things from him. All of it. All of it. That's what he gives you for giving yourself to him and focusing on him. I've got to close. And you want me to. So meddled enough. So this is, I'm closing. Last point, Jesus gives the full power of God. What does that mean? He gives you because you believe in him and accept him as your Savior and Lord and confess your sins to him. Just going to run through this little list, and I don't have to expound on all of them. He gives you the filling of the Holy Spirit. He gives you with that forgiveness and grace and the grace to forgive others and the grace to make it in this life regardless. He gives you the power to love the Father God. He gives you the power to love others. And if you read over in Luke 10, let me tell you something else that he gives you. He gives you the power to walk on snakes and scorpions and to cast out demons, and nothing will by any means harm you. He gives you that power. He gives you that authority, and the devil can't hurt you because of it. But you can hurt him. And it's about time Christians got up and started putting the hurt on him. Bind him, rebuke him, stand against him. This is what God gives. He gives the full power of God to all of us. And that's the power to walk among snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt us. He gives us the power to stand on holy ground. That's what it says over in Hebrews. It says we can come before the Holy of Holies. We don't have to wait for the high priest to intercede for us once a year, because Jesus is now the high priest. And we can come to him anytime, and we can receive freedom and goodness and righteousness and full life. And we can come to realize that we're more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. It's all there for us. It's all for the taking. Just give it to Christ. Give your heart to him. Give him your body. And he'll pour out all this on your life. And he'll... It's true. And it's why it says give and it'll be given to you. We always think money and all that stuff. It's this stuff. It'll be poured, you know, given, it'll be given to you what? Poured without measure, pressed down without measure will be given to us. You got it. He gives all this. He gives and he gives and he gives because you are willing to give yourself to him. Oh, Father, we thank you that you're so good to us. We thank you for your love, your kindness, your forgiveness. And thanks for putting up with us in spite of ourselves. Thank you, Father, that this day is the day that you have made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name. Thanks for making us the same way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you for being here.